You know, Lord Jesus started his class for this morning. Did you have a good sleep last night?
Yes.
No? So yesterday, according to our observation, many of us falling asleep during the class, about 50%. It's a very high because it looks we are physically tired about learning the Word of God. So we must be alert about our situation. Sometimes if we fall asleep, we have to do all other ways to keep yourself awake. Right? So if you are falling asleep, you can just stand up in the back, just like what Brother Joseph is doing. So it doesn't matter if you really falling asleep, you can just stand and listen. And maybe I will ask you to read Bible, or give you a chance to speak. Speak it out and you will you have to say something, you will wait. Okay? So before we proceed into our class, there's one question about Holy Spirit. The question is, is it necessary for a person to speak in tongues and showing he has the Holy Spirit? So what is the purpose of speaking in tongues? So is it necessary to speak in tongues and that's showing people have Holy Spirit? Yes or no? The answer is yes. According to Bible, so far we viewed all the Bible books. When Bible describes person receive Holy Spirit, always come associated with speaking in tongues. So in the Bible, this is the only evidence so far we can see. We know people have Holy Spirit. And what is the purpose of speaking in tongues? What is the purpose? Let's turn to Romans chapter 8. The Holy Spirit, first, Holy Spirit will pray for us, right? Chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Joseph, can you read? Thank you. So Holy Spirit will intercede for us. Make an intersection. So speaking in tongues. So while we are praying in tongues, actually the Holy Spirit is praying for us. We have to understand. Somehow you may lose your mind, but you still speaking in tongues. You're falling asleep. I saw someone actually falling asleep during prayer. Right? Because maybe you are so tired. But you continue speaking in tongues. Why? Holy Spirit still pray for you. But we must be alert. And turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Holy Spirit wants to pray for us. And also, but we have to. We must put effort and be clear mind. We want to be edified through this prayer. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. Henderson, can you read? Okay. So, we speak in tongues, speak to God, not to men. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. Jump to verse 4. David.
Therefore,
Do we keep hearing? Amen. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. So speaking in tongue actually is going to edify our spirituality. It's very important. That's why, you know, once we receive Holy Spirit, naturally we will speak in tongues. The more we pray in spirit, the higher spirituality we will receive from this Holy Spirit. Okay, so this is the answer for this question. Speaking in tongues, we have to pursue it to be filled with Holy Spirit. All right, go back to Book of Hosea. The outline, we can simply divide this book into two sections. First, chapter 1 to chapter 3 is a prophet Hosea's marriage regarding to his family and the prefigure of the salvation according to God's commandment. So Hosea received a very difficult task from the Lord, but he had to do it. This is why he called a prophet of God. The second section is from chapter 4 to chapter 14. This is the message of God to Israel. Usually the format is the first section, every chapter from chapter 4, almost every chapter you can see the first section is the word of prophet and then the word of God. First the prophet used the third person to describe a fact. Then God used the first person to speak directly to the Israel. So this is the two section and almost very consistent format in every chapter. Now the chapter one. Let's turn to chapter one. We will read this chapter. First, let's have from Sister Sarah. Sarah, you read one verse each, taken from sister to brother. This whole chapter first. I read aloud so everybody can hear. Yeah.
And the children of Judah and the children of Israel shall be gathered together in one place.
commandment. So chapter 1, first is beginning. The beginning is the law, when the law began to speak by Hosea, the law said to Hosea, the first God talked to him, you go take yourself a wife of harlotry and children of harlotry. Why? Because the land has committed great harlotry by departing from the law. So this is called prophet. Prophet is the messenger of God's salvation. God wants to use this man to deliver a very important message that his people depart from him by following idols, so-called her lovers. It's a multiple, many, many idols. So prophet, he prays a messenger of God. And now God wants to use his own marriage to deliver, to just like a play, show people how God is going to do. So from verse 1 to verse 9 is Hosea's married a wife of harlotry, and then his family. He has sons and daughter. And how God wants him to name them, right? From verse 10 to 11, it's the prophecy of a revival on the great last day. So two sections. This is for this chapter. Actually, from chapter 1, verse 10 to 11, and second, the chapter 2, verse 1. These three verses actually is a special section. If we just take the verse 10 and chapter 2, verse 1 out, and you connect verse 9, chapter 1, verse 9, and chapter 2, verse 2, you just connect the continuing of the message. It's complete message. So these three verses actually is put in to show a certain message. So usually if we study the Bible, then if we take these three verses out, and then after chapter 2, verse 13, and then you can see the whole section of the message of God. Okay. So first, the commandment of God to Hosea is, take a wife, right? Take a wife of harlotry and a children of harlotry. This is a commandment, right? And then Hosea, he just do it. For the land has committed great harlotry by departing from God. So the purpose of God is use this prophet to let people know you have committed great harlotry. Departed from the law. They follow idols, right? So now, the marriage of Hosea is an analogy. Analogy of relationship between Israel and God. So that's why in this book you can see the relationship of marriage between God and people. This is continue through the whole book. So this is an analogy. Now, the prophet have to accept God's commandment. And then, Bible says, he went, and verse 3 says, he went and took this Gomer, his wife. Okay? Now, the problem is, we do have a question about Hosea. How did Hosea know Mary in the harlot was the will of God? You know the question? How did Hosea know that marrying a harlot was the will of God? Of course, it's because God said to him, God gave him a commandment, you go and take yourself a harlot wife, right? Take yourself a wife of harlotry And then you have to accept the children apology. So, say today, if someone receives this kind of message, either through vision, dream, etc., we would say that this is from Satan, because using the Bible, we know that this is sin. Right? God will never tell us to sin against him. So how was Hosea able to know that this was of God? God said to him already. But first, when we do this chapter, do you think that this woman, Gomer, is a harlot from the beginning? What do you think? Is Hosea to marry a harlot, or this woman later turned to be a harlot? Which way? How many consider she is a harlot from the beginning? Raise your hand. Okay. How about the other? She is not, but turned to a harlot later. Okay, less, right? You can consider, huh? If you look at the verse 2 carefully, for the land has committed great harlotry by departing from the Lord. So, what is the relationship between God and Israel? From the beginning, did the Israelites turn to idol? Did they worship idol? No, right? So God called the Israelites his own people. They follow the Lord in the wilderness. They are so close, actually, right? God loved Israelites, and the people also have a very close relationship with the Lord. They follow. They don't follow other idols. They just follow the Lord. So we can see Gomer looked like she was not a harlot at all. Because if we use this analogy to view the relationship between God and Israel, and this marriage, because Hosea's marriage is an analogy of the relationship between God and Israel, right? So Israel, they follow the law wholeheartedly from the beginning. So that's why God, Gomer became an adulteress later. But God knew it from the beginning. So God foretold Hosea to accept her children of harlotry, right? Because God knows what is going to happen on this woman, Gomer. She is going to turn away from Hosea and become a harlot. And she will commit adultery and born children who are not from Hosea. But Hosea have to accept these children. Okay? So God give Hosea a head up. Your wife is going to betray you and be unfaithful to you. And something will happen, but you have to accept. Don't just treat him just like a foreigner or forsaker. No, accept her. Right? So, because we will see from verse three, their three sons. Let's turn to verse three. The first son, Jezreel. In verse 3 say, she conceived and born him a son. Right? Born him a son. So this son belonged to Hosea, right? Born him a son. Huh? A son. Okay, and then how about verse six. And she conceived again and born a daughter. Now, the Bible didn't say born him a daughter, just say born a daughter. Okay, and then the name God gave to Hosea, name her as a Lo Ruhama, meaning no mercy. Why? If these children belong to Hosea, of course God will name him another way. But because this actually is from adultery, that's why I say no mercy. Okay? Then the third child, she conceived, right? After verse 8. Now when she had weaned to Lo Ruhama, she conceived and born a son. Then God said, call his name of Ruhami. So Ruhami means not my people. Not my people. Okay? So from Ruhama and Ruhami, Bible only says she conceived and born a daughter or born a son, but not born Hosea, a son or a daughter, right? So you can see this woman, she commit adultery after born Hosea, a son, Jezreel. God specially named the firstborn called God's source. Jezreel means God's source. God will sow. 神在中, God will plant. Plant his children, his children of Israel in the promised land. So actually we can see it from the name of children. It's different. It tells the story already. Okay. So I mentioned about chapter 2 verse 22. Here the earth shall answer with grain, with new wine and with oil. They shall answer Jezreel. And the original text special, you know, have a note, footnote that God will sow. God will sow. God plan. So Jezreel meaning God plan. Okay. So just because the son belong to Hosea, God will use this son to show something. Something will happen. That's next. The name of the firstborn, Jezreel. God will avenge the bloodshed of Jezreel on the house of Jehu. So this is a historical event. Right? Historical event. This event is recorded in 2 Kings chapter 9 to chapter 10. The king Jehu, God appointed this man as the king of Israel and give him a special mission to destroy the house of Ahab. Right? So in 2 Kings chapter 9 and chapter 10, it just give us the details how this king Jehu have complete for the Lord. Wipe out all the house of Ahab and the worshipper of Baal, right? So let's turn to this 2 Kings chapter 9, chapter 10. 2 Kings chapter 10 to chapter 10, verse 31. From 29 to 31, more incomplete. From next chapter. 2 Kings 10, 29.
Verse 29. However, Jehu did not turn away from the sins of
I'm sorry, next. Amen. So Jeff, he fulfilled the mission of God, right? He just destroyed this evil sins of worshiping Baal. But in verse 31 say, but Jeff took no heed to walk in the law of the Lord of Israel with all his heart, for he did not depart from the sins of Jeroboam, who has made Israel sin, which means they continue to worship the golden cow, right? Oh. So actually, Jeff, he continued to use his power to lead people into this same sin, the sin worshiping idols. So now God used the firstborn of Hosea to prophesy the judgment of the God. God will bring an end to the kingdom of Israel. Right? In Hosea chapter 1, verse 3, when God asked Hosea to name his firstborn, he said, for in a little while I will avenge the bloodshed of Jezreel on the house of Jehu, and bring an end to the kingdom of the house of Israel. So this, the name itself already indicate or signal God will do something to bring the kingdom of Israel to the end, because they continue worshiping the idols. They continue in the sin. So the sins of Jeroboam, which make Israel to sin, they don't follow the true God. They just treat God as an image, golden calf image. And then this is why eventually they follow the idol of Baal. Because Baal show them seems a more substance they can receive from these idols. They can receive wine, grain, you know, all the harvest. They can see this is how, because the Canaanites, they can treat Baal as the god of the grain. So Israelites, they follow this Canaanites. They treat God just like that, only for physical blessings. But they forgot God's righteousness, God's holiness. They just totally forgot the attribute of God. And so this name brings a very important message. And how about the second name, second child? God rejected to call Israel his people because of the harlotry. I will not be your God. Right? In the which verse? In verse 8, right? In verse 8. After the third child, in verse 9, God said, call his name Lo-Ami, for you are not my people, and I will not be your God. I will not be your God. Why? So this is revealing God's intention to terminate the relationship between God and Israel. So now, this wife of Hosea, Gomer, she commit adultery, and then she born these two children. So God revealed the fact to Hosea, you name them, these two names. God is going to treat the people of Israel and say, you have no mercy, I will not be your God. Oh, this is very clear, right? So signal the hopeless of Israel. You are going to have a miserable life now because you turn away from the Lord. Okay. All right, so this is the name. Let's turn to verse 7. Verse 7. But yet I will have mercy on the house of Judah, will save them by the Lord their God, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword or battle, by horses or horsemen. Here, just suddenly appear about Judah. Now, the message of Hosea, the book of Hosea, is to the northern kingdom of Israel. But at the same time, the message of prophet actually will be circulated among the Israel people. So sometimes, even though the main focus is to the north, but still will be delivered into the south. So some scholars they propose maybe this is the actual portion that after the Judah they view this message and then put it into, they insert this message and say, oh, God is not going to show mercy to Israel, but God will show mercy to Judah. Right? If they can really rely on God. So blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Because in verse 7 it says, I will have mercy on the house of Judah, will save them by the Lord their God. So Judah will be saved through Lord their God, right? They are not going to save through their own power or their horsemen or their any weapons. No. They have to rely on the Lord. So the battle is God's, is the Lord's, and there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. So in 1 Samuel chapter 17, this is the story of David, battle of Goliath. And this is how the child David talked to this giant. Let's turn to this verse. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Verse 47. First Samuel 17, 47. Next, Humphrey. Amen. Then all this assembly should know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. This is David's understanding about God's power, right? The battle is the Lord's. So the Lord will fight for the Israel. So in Psalm 33, let's turn to this verse, Psalm 33. If we belong to God, God will fight us, and we are praised. Psalm 33, verse 12. 33, 12. 12 to 22. Right, next. Psalm 33, Next. Amen. Verse 22 says, let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us, just as we hope in you. So, you know, in Hosea chapter 1, verse 7, it says, just turn to this suddenly, a hope. A hope. If we can really follow the Lord, then we are so blessed. We don't have to worry, because God will be our God. We will call his people. But in the chapter, in verse 10 to 11, it's suddenly changing the tone, right? Because of God's everlasting love and mercy, a prophecy of restoration is given. This is just because God knows what happened, and he wanted to again accept his beloved children. So he's prophesied in verse 10, yet the number of Israel, of the children of Israel, shall be as sand of the sea, which cannot be measured or numbered, or it shall come to pass. In the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, there it shall be said to them, you are sons of the living God. Okay? So, this is what I'm trying to do. You put aside these three verses. You connect it after chapter 2, verse 13, then you will see how God shows his love to his people. How God wants to bring them back to the time of the wilderness. Their relationship is so close. God said, you are my people. And the people will say, you are my God. This is a very intimate relationship between God and man. But unfortunately, this relationship has been destroyed through this idols. When Israel only looked for the physical blessing, because later in chapter 2 you will see, they care about bread, water, wool, linen, oil, drink. All this just a physical world, physical thing. But in chapter 2, verse 19, God will say, I will destroy you with what? Betray you in what? To me, in righteousness, justice, loving kindness, mercy, faithfulness. God wants his people to view him like more spiritual, because they have to understand God is the spirit. God is the Lord with all physical and spiritual blessings. God will bless them. If they are the people of God, God is their God, then they are so blessed. But unfortunately, their eyesight just turned to this world only. Follow the view, the value system of the Canaanites. This is a very sad ending. So the prophecy about the great day of Jezreel in verse 11. In numerous the children of Israel, God will say, your children will be this. You cannot measure it. You know? So this is the restoration of relationship to Israel. God wanted to rebuild it. So from the beginning, God said, I want to accept you. I want to make you my people. And you will call me, you are my God. This is God's heart, right? So in this chapter, in verse 11, let's turn to verse 11. Verse 11, 10 and 11, actually, this prophecy contained these three messages. First, the children of Israel is innumerable. You can imagine so many, right? Second, God wanted to rebuild this relationship with his children. So that's why you are there, it should be said to them, you are sons of the living God. The third, the Israel, verse 11 says, the children of Judah and the children of Israel shall be gathered together. The unity of the house of Israel. In the beginning, they are just one family, right? They are the one nation, the children of God. But later, because of some reason, they divide into different nations. But now God, once again, God bring them together as one unit. So this unity of Israel, and then a new head were anointed. So in verse 11 said, and anointed for themselves one head. One leader. This leader actually is a prefigure of Jesus Christ. Jesus will be the leader to unify all the house of Israel, how the children of God become one family. So this is a prophecy. Okay. So this is in chapter 1. And then in chapter 2, verse 1, it's the same. The message is continued together. In verse 1 said, say to your brethren, my people, and to your sisters, mercy is shown. Say to your brother, your sister, so that means this is the day that God will sow. God will sow again his children into this blessed land, the promised land. So that's why chapter 2, verse 23, the message is connect together. Chapter 2, verse 1, and chapter 2, verse 23, you see this message connect as a whole, the complete concept. In verse 23 say, then I will sow her for myself in the earth, and I will have mercy on her who has not obtained mercy. Then I will say to those who were not my people, you are my people, and they shall say, you are my God. Okay? So this is the prophecy. This is God's love. God wants to rebuild, restore this. His love to the house of Israel. So it corresponds to the prophecy of the end day. This message from chapter 1, you can repeat to see in chapter 14, verse 5 to 8. So that's why it's called the love of God. And under this message, under this love, God used this prophet, to call upon his children, return. Depart from your iniquity. Don't continue in this sinful way. You return back to the right way. Then this prophecy, the restoration of relationship will once again become so true. People will call God, you are my God. Okay, so this is chapter 1. So how can we hold on to this promise of God? First, we have to remember the unchanging love of God and repent it. So first John chapter 1 verse 9. If we say we have no sin, then we are liars. But on the other hand, we confess our sin and repent it, God is faithful and he will accept us. So you free, because we have no time, you free to 1 John chapter 1 verse 9, you do it by yourself. God is faithful. This message continues from Old Testament into New Testament. God is faithful. So just return to him. He will accept us. Don't just forsake yourself. Even though you have committed any iniquity, return to the Lord. Repent it from your whole heart. Okay. And then we must understand we will be saved by the law of God. We are not going to be saved through our own deeds or our own determination. No way. We have to rely on God's mercy. So saved by the law of God. We call him, you are my God, and he will have mercy on us. And next, we shall be gathered together, a heart of unity. So even though we are so many, but we are one, under one God, under one leader, Jesus Christ is our head. So unify everybody together. So through this way, and come up with a submissive heart and to this head, and we will be saved. We are so blessed. Okay, so this is chapter 1 of Hosea.
important.
Thank you. All right. Friends, conclude.